everybody today? Good. We're glad that you're here this morning. Thankful for the rain that we had. It's pretty funny, you know, for a couple of weeks or months, we didn't have any rain. And I was like, Lord, we need some rain. When's the rain coming? It rains all day one day. And I'm like, when's it going to stop raining? Gosh. But aren't you just thankful for the rain? I'm thankful to be here. I just pray that let's just let God's Spirit anoint us today.
Yes.
And let's feel His presence. These songs that we're going to sing are some of my favorite, but they're all about God's presence. So whatever's on your brain this morning, let it go. And let's just feel His presence and worship Him this morning. Stand. Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place, fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place, fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us.
on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. A miracle can happen now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. A miracle can happen now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Thank you for your presence, God. Thank you for your presence, God. Make us aware, make us aware, make us aware. Make us aware, make us aware, make us aware. Thank you, Father, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, where you are, there is freedom to walk, to move, that in you we live, we move, we have our being. Every second of every day. Sing it.
There's nothing worth more that would ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord, we thank you, you are here, God.
always love the part of the story with the Israelites, and God wouldn't allow the Israelites to store up manna. He said, I got manna for you every day. You don't have to store up what you gathered in today. I got something new today. And not everyone is like me. I think this part of me kind of drives Chris crazy a little bit. I'm not a big fan of leftovers. Like, once I've had a meal, I've had the meal. I don't want the same thing again. And like, Chris will keep something in the refrigerator all week long, and I'm like, brother, it's time for it to go. But that's the manna, the spiritual manna that God has for us. And He is constantly doing a new thing. He is constantly doing a new thing in your marriage when we become aware of His presence in us, in our lives. He is constantly doing a new thing in your relationships with your children. And all we have to be is aware. Is aware. Is aware. Isaiah. And I love yesterday's meal. I do. But I don't want it today. And sometimes we can hold on to those things that maybe God did something in a certain way, in a certain vein, and we kind of bring that into the next day. But Isaiah says, forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? And I don't know what you're feeling this morning. If you just feel like I need to be refreshed or I need this newness, He says, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in a dry wasteland. Just get that imagery. Something's dry and dead and barren. Nothing can grow there. And God says, I will create rivers. It doesn't matter how dead or how unrefreshed you feel. The wild animals in the fields will thank me. The jackals and the owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland. So you, my people, my sons, my daughters, my children can be refreshed. Isn't that good? Let's worship.
In the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your careful hand. Cause when I trust you, I don't need to understand. Make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all you have given me, Jesus. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. In the crushing and in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, sing it out loud. You are breaking new ground. So make me a vessel. Sing it out. Make me.
Let it pour out, Jesus. Let it pour out, Jesus. You are making new wine. Oh, let it pour out, Jesus. Oh, let it pour out, Jesus. Let it pour out, Jesus. Oh, new wine. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Singing, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Declare it, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Let me hear your voices. Oh, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Oh, Jesus, bring new. thank you, Father. It is so worth it to surrender our lives to Him. It is worth it to surrender our lives to Him and say, Father, you do what you want to do. Have your way. And that line in that song where it says, I came here with nothing and all that you've given me. Every time we lay our lives down, every time we say, God, you form me, shape me, mold me, lead me, guide me. I'm going to be attentive to your spirit. He just adds to. It's always worth it. It's always worth it to say, make me your vessel. Nothing matters more than allowing Him to be His greatness, His colossal Christ, just flowing out of us. And all He does is just add more and more. And I'm so thankful for you guys here. And honestly, when I sing that line, I came here with nothing and all that you've given me, I think about you guys. That's why my arms kind of do this when I sing it and I say it, because I'm so thankful for you, for what you add to my life, for what you add to my family's life. I'm thankful to be on this stage with my son, my daughter, my closest friends, doing this thing, and my son's a beneficiary of your presence here. My daughter's a beneficiary of your presence here. My family, we benefit from each other. And I'm just so thankful for what He's given me. For you in this room, He's good. He's good. He's good. And I'm ready to experience the new with you. I don't want to do it without you. Wouldn't want to do it without you. It's not worth it. It's not as fun. I like doing it with you. I want to taste and see His goodness with you. I want the new wine to pour out with you. I am thankful for you. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for choosing to come and be in this room with me, with my family, with each other. You are the goodness. You are the goodness. And my life is better. Amen.
Amen. That's the truth, isn't it? I hate to see this series end. I hate it so much, I may not let it in. How many have got something out of Colossal Christ? Colossal Colossians. The moment I read that word, Colossal Colossians, I've pastored now for 45 years, I guess, and I've never taught the book of Colossians. And when I started reading it and studying it, it just overwhelmed me. The two most important people in history. The two most important people in history is Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul. I say that without any reservations. I say that with any hesitation. The two most important people in history that has made the greatest impact on this global world is Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul. And why Jesus chose Paul, Saul at that time, who knows? How many know God just chooses who He wants to? Chooses who He wants to do what He wants to get done. He had 12 disciples He spent 3.5 years with. 3.5 years. He handpicked these men. And He taught them, and He loved on them, and He served them, and He traveled with them, and they saw His mighty miracles. They saw Him raise the dead, open blinded eyes, heal the sick. They saw Him do all of that. And Paul saw none of that. And yet, he is on his way to Damascus with papers from the government to haul more people like you, believers in Jesus. He was headed there to get them, haul them back to prison. Some of them were going to be fed to lions. Some of them were going to be stoned to death. Some of them was going to be suffer all kinds of physical pain. Some were going to be thrown in dungeons for months and months and years and years. Some of them were going to be so mistreated like they've never been treated in their whole life. And on his way, he hears a voice. He sees a bright light. Say light. How many of you know when the light comes on, something happens? Huh? How many of you are glad the light came on in your life? You know, sometimes you look at somebody and say, you know, the light just ain't on. You ever seen anybody like that? You look in their eyes and you know the light's not on. It's dark. But when the light comes on, and this light blinded Paul and Saul at that time, and he hears this word, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why are you persecuting me? He says, Lord, who are you? How am I persecuting you? When you persecute them, you persecute me. Wow. The people you're persecuting is the same thing as you're persecuting me. How many know that if somebody comes against your children, they're coming against you? Right? They come against your children, they're coming against you. Now, I want you to do something for me this morning. Okay, how many have an imagination? Some of you really have an imagination. How many know what it is to imagine? How many probably, do you imagine something every day? Every day you imagine some things. Well, I want you to imagine something today. You know, all across the world, all across this county, all across the United States, there are cathedrals, there are temples, there are churches. There are men and women standing before people, and they're opening up these nice Bibles. And I've had this one now a good while. I kept buying cheap Bibles, and they kept falling apart. And so I finally got me a good one that, it's not bonded leather, it's real leather. It holds together. It's held together for years now. And I love it. But I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine the Apostle Paul. He's in prison. He's in a dungeon. He's not only behind cells, he's got shackles on both his ankles. A little length where he can't really walk very fast, move very fast. He's got shackles on both wrists, and just enough to eat and move around. He's got not some really nice paper. He's got some parchment, an ancient, primitive tool to write with. He don't know what's going to happen. He don't know when he's going to get out, if he's going to get out. One time he's in prison. The last time he was in prison, he knew he wasn't going to get out. He looked out of his jail cell and writing his last letter. He wrote to Timothy. He said, time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. Because he sees a chop block, if you will. And he knows the next day they're going to take him out there and they're going to lay him over it. And they're going to chop his head off. And he, and with all the gentleness and kindness, says, the time of my departure is at hand. And so he's sitting in this cell, and he's writing this letter to Colossians, city of Colossae. He tells them how wonderful Jesus is. It's stench all around him. It's not a nice jail. There's urine. You getting the picture? It smells really bad, Joy. And his heart's pleading for a church. And so he begins to pen these last words. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too that God will give us many opportunities to speak about this mysterious plan concerning Christ. That's why I'm here in chains. I didn't rob anybody. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't rape anybody. I didn't do anything to hurt another individual. I'm here because of this mysterious plan concerning Christ. That's why I'm here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Wow. Not complaining. Not complaining. Not, will y'all feel sorry for me? Not trying to put a guilt trip on them. You think you got problems? I think that's what I wrote. You think you got problems? Really? Really? You burnt your meal? Oh, really? Hadn't rained. Now it won't stop raining. Really? Sit there and watch thousands and thousands of people sitting in the pouring rain, cheering on their Georgia Bulldogs. We do what we set our mind to do, can't we? Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. There were no phones back then. We couldn't text anybody this message. It was this ancient parchment, and he's writing this letter. You with me? We'll try to... This last chapter may seem boring to you, but it's not boring. It may sound like it. As I read it, you're going to get... This is getting a little boring, Buren. Can I bore you a minute? You mind if I bore you a minute? You don't mind? Tychicus will give you a full report about how I'm getting along. Maybe if we'd have been back there then, he might have said, Joy will give you a full report about how I'm getting along. How many need a Tychicus in their life? How many need a Joy in their life? How many need another person? It's what Paul's saying. I can't do this thing alone. I need you. He's a beloved brother and faithful helper who serves with me in the Lord's work. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and encourage you. I'm also sending Onesimus. He's an interesting character. He was, Philemon is a little short book. Paul wrote a letter to one man called Philemon. His servant ran away, and he ran into Paul and got saved. And so Paul writes to Philemon, and he says, Onesimus, treat him right when he comes back because he's got a changed heart. He's a different person. He's a faithful and beloved brother, one of your own people. He and Tychicus will tell you everything that's happening here. Aristarchus, who is in prison with me, sends you his greetings. This guy who's in prison with me, by the way, he wants to send you his greetings. Hello! He sends you his greetings, and so does Mark, Barnabas' cousin. As you were instructed before, make Mark welcome if he comes your way. St. Mark, Paul one time said, get out of here, you're not worth it. Barnabas got all upset because that was his little cousin. And Paul tells Mark on a journey one day, he said, you ain't got it, what it takes. You're just in my way. How would you like Apostle Paul to tell you you're in his way? Not all the things. But later on, he wrote another letter, and he said to Timothy at the end of it, by the way, tell Mark to come see me. He's profitable for me in the ministry. I've had a change of heart. How many know Paul wasn't perfect either? As you were instructed before, make Mark welcome. Jesus, the one we call Justice, also sends his greetings. These are the only Jewish believers among my co-workers. They are working with me here for the kingdom of God, and what a comfort they have been. Epaphras, a member of your own fellowship and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings. He always prays earnestly for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect, fully confident that you are following the whole will of God. I can assure you that he prays hard for you and also for the believers in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved doctor, sends his greetings, and so does Demas. Please give my greetings to our brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to the church that meets in her house. After you have read this letter, pass it on to the church of Laodicea so they can read it too. And you should read the letter I wrote to them. I love this. And say to Archippus, be sure to carry out the ministry the Lord gave you. And he closes with this. Here is my greeting in my own handwriting, Paul. Remember my chains. May God's grace be with you. Why Paul ends, he ended Romans that way. He gives a list of all these people. He keeps just talking about all of them because what he's saying is all these people are important. There are no big I's and no little U's in the kingdom. There's not anyone who's not needed in the kingdom. And so after he tells them all those wonderful things we shared, I just want to share a little bit out of Colossians 3 again, some things I overlooked or didn't get to last week. But, you know, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth, for your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall appear with him also in glory. There is a Christ nature in you. There's a DNA of God that's in every human being on the face of the earth. They just have to be awakened to it. And so he says, when Christ is revealed, or how many know that every time and when is the same thing? When or every time? So he says, every time Christ is revealed in you, every time you have this awakening of this Christ mind in you, then do something with it. I'm reading a book by Richard Rohr called The Universal Christ, and it's an amazing book. I've read several of his books, and I've tried to read some of his books and tried again to read some of his books, and the more I tried, the more I didn't understand. But this one, he is very clear, and it's so readable. But he talks about Christ is in everything. And I was in my study this week, and I had this renewal of my mind because I've said this to myself, and I've said this to the Lord sometimes. I wish I had the same mind I had when I was young, and how I could so memorize scriptures and just easy. I wish I had that mind. And all of a sudden, the Spirit spoke to me and said, "What mind do you think you had then?" The Christ mind. That's the reason you could do it, because let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not think his equality with God was something to be retained. But he gave it up and became his servant, humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he is Lord. And I started memorizing quotes, and it was easier than it's ever been in my life, because there is a Christ mind that doesn't get old. Doesn't get old. It doesn't age. Aren't you glad? And so he says, now because you have this, stop being immoral, stop being impure, stop being lustful, stop all these things, get rid of all of that. And by the way, get rid of some other stuff. Stop slandering people, stop talking bad about people, stop saying unkind things. I like one way. He says, stop being malicious. Malicious sounds terrible, doesn't it? I, you know what that means? Stop being mean. Just stop being mean. See, I'm mischievous, but I'm not malicious. But I am mischievous. I can't help it. I love being mischievous. I just, something about me that I'm that way, but I don't want to be mean. He said, so stop being mean. Stop being mean. Stop being mean. Say, stop being mean. Sometimes you just got to tell somebody that. Go ahead being mean. You mean. That was mean. Anybody did anything mean this week? Stop being mean. Then he says, you need to get rid of anger and wrath. Anger is this inward thing that is, you keep nurturing it. You keep thinking about it, and it just stays there. I had a call this week, I answered the phone, and a minister on the other end said, "Have you got a moment?" And I said, "Sure." And he said, I feel like I need to write a book about angry America. And you called the right person. I've been studying this for weeks now. He said, I got to do something about it. But I don't want to make it negative. I said, well, the fact is, we have an angry nation. We have an angry nation. Dusty's gut doctor, I guess it's a better title than that, told her the other week she's got an angry colon. Angry. And it's angry because it's inflamed. It's infected. And I said, we got an angry nation because it's infected. And it's inflamed with words, with criticism, with hatred. And that anger is not going away until the infection's gone away. You got to find out what's infecting the nation. Do away with wrath, that certain sudden outburst. Get rid of wrath. Be kind. Be kind. I mean, you know, you can get rid of a lot of stuff, but if you don't replace it, it's coming back. So once you get rid of these emotions that are negative and not good, then put on tender mercies. The ancient world back then needed it bad. The animals needed it. Women needed it. The maimed and the sickly needed it. Children needed it. The aged needed it. And Christianity brought dignity to all of that. Said, put on kindness. When Jesus was about to be crucified, he was in a house. And a woman came up, and she had an alabaster box of real costly ointment called spikenard. Spikenard was only used for one thing only. It was to bring refreshing and kindness and cheerfulness to another person. That when you would anoint people with it, it brought such a refreshing to them and it cheered them up. That's what we're to be. Spikenard people. Say, I'm a spikenard. Now, I'm going to spike you. I'm going to be kind to you and refresh you and make you cheerful. That's what I'm going to do. You know, how many of you know you got an opportunity to do that every single day of your life? Just be kind. Isaac used to, you know, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember Isaac, the son? He's the middle one. Abraham, man, he did a lot of things. And Jacob, we got to know a lot about him. You know, there's not a whole lot about Isaac. But you know what Isaac did? He dug wells. And he dug a well, and somebody had come along after he dug the well and started arguing over the well. I want the well. I want this refreshing. And Isaac said, you can have it. It was his well. He dug it, but he gave it away. He gave that kindness away. And he's Isaac the well digger. And he kept digging wells and digging wells. And finally he dug a well and nobody argued about it. They argued. He never got in an argument over a well that he dug that was his and somebody else wanted it. Oh. He never argued. I'd like to know. I'd like to go a week without ever arguing. Wouldn't you like to go along? Can we just stop arguing? Can we? Can America just stop arguing? Huh? He says, here, you can have that. Finally, he dug a well and nobody wanted it. And he said, I think I'm going to call this Rehoboth. Room. I finally got room for me now. It's a place for me. Be kind. He says, be humble. What is humility? You're humble because all people belong to God and there's no room for arrogance. So there's no room for arrogance. No room for arrogance. Be gentle, strength under control. Be patient with all men. Now this is what this word patience is. It means you're never driven to cynicism or despair. You never give up. Make allowance for people. Allow them to be them. Make allowances. Put on love, which is the perfect bond. And then he goes on and he says, you know, put on this Christ thing and let it be in you. to such an extent that the peace of God will be the ruler of your life. Peace will be the ruler, the umpire. He'll make all the calls. Adam, I want you to come to the keyboard, please. And you see, this peace doesn't come. See, you and I are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the sons of God. How many know that he was called the Prince of Peace? How many know where peace is made? Right here. That's where peace is made. I choose every day to argue, be combative, or choose every day to be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. Used to have a man in a church that, I don't know if this was right or wrong, but he did it. But he kept peace. Every time his wife would get in an argument with him, he would just look at her and start speaking in tongues. Oh, yeah. I know. I said, I don't know if it was right or wrong, but he did it. And, she'd get upset, and he would just start speaking in his heavenly language. He just start speaking in tongues. I think he probably was praying in tongues. God help me. Probably what was going on. But one thing I had to give him credit for, as you stand with me, he was not going to enter into that field of combat. He was just going to do whatever he could do. And for all our Facebook fans, I want to thank you for being with us. But we're going to start ending our services a little differently. And so we're ending as far as live Facebook right now. And thank you for joining us. But I want you to know how important you are. And that none of us are here on our own. We need each other. It's called the body of Christ. And the eye can't say to the hand, I don't have no need of you. Foot can't say to the head, I have no need of you. Matter of fact, Paul said the parts of the body that you think are not that important, he says, is the most important. There's a little thing in your body called a pancreas, and it's pretty small, but you got to have it, don't you, David? You may think it's insignificant, but it's not insignificant. You don't see it, but you have the effects of it when it's working. And he says, we need each other. And I think that's what kept Paul sane. I do. I don't believe he could sit in those prison cells, write those letters that he wrote without feeling this connection with them and feeling that support of them, feeling that encouragement from them. It gave him what he needed to get through what he got through. And I believe he had it because he gave it to people. With me? Whatever you sow, that you also reap. So there was somewhere in Paul's life where this Christ mind so grabbed him and got hold of him that wherever he was, I've learned in whatever state I'm in. Now, you ain't talking about Georgia. Whatever state of being I'm in, I've learned to be content. I know how to abound, and I know how not to have anything. I know how to be preaching to 65,000 people of Ephesus. I know what it is to stand before people and see the power of God flow in such a way that blinded eyes are open and people are healed. I know what it is to see all of that, and I also know what it is to be in shackles and be in prison and to be in all this stench around me, but I've learned to be content in that, because when I'm outside of here, I'm doing the same, oh God, I'm doing the same thing in here that I do out there. I don't stop praising because of prison. I've learned I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I don't know why, on one occasion, God sets him free. Shackles fell off of him, prison doors flung open, and all the prisoners could have left. Nobody did. I love Revelation. They were still in prison, but they weren't imprisoned. They had a new mind. They had a new mind. That the jailer was about to kill himself because he was in charge of all these prisoners, and if they got out, he would be put to death. And he's about to kill himself, Joy. And all of a sudden, Paul said, "Whoa, whoa, do yourself no harm. We're all here. Nobody's left." You know why nobody left, Keith? Shackles fell in their heart. These outward shackles was only symbolic. What happened was they were set free inside. They were liberated. And when those shackles fell, that criminal mind, oh God, that criminal mind left. You see, Paul was in there because of the mystery of Christ. They were in there because they'd stole something. They were in there because they had done some really bad things. But yet, when the shackles fell and the doors opened, they didn't go anywhere because they were changed. They were changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. They were changed. And what I want you to do this morning, symbolically, this is what I want you to do. Not symbolically, I want you to do because of the symbolism that's going to be. I want you to come up here. I want you to just come forward. Just come as close as you can up here. Just close as you can. And I want you to just, for a moment, I really believe today you got the picture. How many got the picture of this letter? Didn't have a computer, wasn't a typewriter, it was ancient way of writing a letter. And he was hurting. Yet he wasn't hurting. He was in prison, but he wasn't in prison. That's why when they asked Mandela, when he finally got out of prison, said, how did you handle these 27 years of them locking you up every single day? He said, the moment they closed the door, I went out. And I imagined myself free. For 27 years. Your imagination is so important. That's right. And he says, now unto him, he said in Ephesians 3, unto him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything we could even ask or think. And that word think means ask or imagine, I can do abundantly above all of that. And so as I meditated on that this week, I thought, God, you healed in the old covenant. You healed in the new covenant. You healed through Jesus. You healed through Paul, Peter. We're the same. We're the same. The same Christ that was in Paul is in me. And I said to myself this week, and Lynn, you were very instrumental, you don't know this, but of awakening me back to believing God. My word for this year was believe. That was just my personal word, was activate your faith, boy. Activate your faith. I was prophesied over years ago, you are a man of faith. The prophecy was, you can't go through this life without exercising your faith. You got to exercise that faith. And so I'm prophesying today that the Spirit of the Lord is in this place, and the power to heal, and the power to save, and the power to set free is in this place, because he is in all of us. And so we just today agree together that there is going to be such an outpouring of God's Spirit. Now watch this, look at me. I didn't say a downpouring, because it doesn't downpour anymore. It outpours. And so the outpouring of this Spirit is not going to be coming down from above, but coming out of our most innermost beings as we activate our faith and as we believe and as we speak and as we prophesy it and we say it is. Can you imagine what will happen? Imagine what will happen. All of us started doing that. Imagine. Imagine. I'm looking forward to it. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, King of kings and Lord of lords, God of the universe, created all things, is in all things, yet transcends all things. Yes. To the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, we release that faith. We release that faith from our most innermost being. Jesus, you said, from our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And that water, wherever it goes, whatever it touches, brings healing and refreshment to wherever it's sent forth, wherever we allow it to come forth. I believe there's a colossal Christ inside of me to make a colossal difference inside of me and to make a colossal difference in everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. Amen. Thank you. As you go back to your seats for a moment, the ushers are coming. I want to encourage you. We got to take this out of here, out there. Right? Got to take this from in here, out there. And I want you to know that wherever you go this week, starting in the morning, wherever you go to your office, you go to your place of employment, you go to a house to clean, you walk in a place, wherever you go, release that anointing. Purposely release that anointing. You know, Penny, it hit me this week, Penny. You remind me of this over and over. You've said it to me for 30 years. And I can't tell you how many times Miss Penny Wesley's come up to me, and especially if she sees me struggling in any way or this or that happening, you always say this to me every now and then. She walks up to me, Buren. I kind of like, Buren, you remember? God said to you, whatever you ask me, I'll give it to you. Whatever you ask me, I'll give it to you. Kelly Varner, which has gone on to the higher life that there is, said that to me. And the reason, see, that you don't know why he said it to me. When God spoke to Solomon and said to Solomon, Solomon, ask me anything, I'll give it to you. Ask me anything, I'll give it to you. And Solomon said, give me wisdom to lead these people. And God said to Solomon, because you didn't ask for anything else, I'm giving you everything else. I'm giving you everything else. Because the greatest thing you can ask for is wisdom. Wisdom. You have been made wisdom by the Spirit. You are a walking wisdom person. You are smart. You are wise. Because the wisest of all is in you. Now, let it happen. Just let it be. Ain't that easy? Just let it be. You know the illustration I used last week of the little child, young man, and the father? Here's what I don't want you to miss. Yeah, you want to get to this father image over here, okay? That's where we all want to get to. But you're still going to be a child. You with me? Somebody said to me when I was leaving last Sunday, I mentioned something about age. She says, you know how old you are? And I said, yeah. She said, whatever age you've ever been. I'm not, how old am I? Two? Three? Why? Because I've been two and I've been three, been four, five, I've been 10. I'm every age I've ever been. Except you become as a little child, you can't get into the kingdom. We can't not let the little child of imagination and dreams and awe leave us. We've got to hold on to that. Society, you stand with me, society, most people stop dreaming and imagining after the age of 5 or 6. And there's 3 words I want you to leave here with to do this week, if you'll do this. Whatever's good, focus on. Whatever's true, focus on. And see beauty. And let creation, let the world awe you one more time. Let it awe you. We should be in awe of everything. One guy said, there's heaven in every place you go. You just have to be awakened to it to see it. Can we do that? Amen. Love you. Thank you for being here. Did we receive an offering? Did you give? God bless.